Good morning, friends. My name is Skylar Rhodes, and I have the great honor to be the pastor at Petaluma United Methodist Church. And it's my pleasure to welcome you today to our worship podcast. This is a unique and powerful way to come together. I invite you to get comfortable and to open your ears and your heart as we slide this morning into worship on this first Sunday of Lent, February 21st. 2021. Praise God and welcome all.
Call to worship. We travel together as a people of hope. We move as one through the landscape of life, and we know that this journey, this path, is our home. Come, let us journey together into this Lenten season. Come, let us open our hearts and worship together. Amen.
God calls us to reflect together in this holy season. Part of this reflection is to focus on a growing awareness of and clarity about the sins we have committed in word and deed. Friends, let us open our hearts in confessional prayer before our God.
Prayer of Confession. Like Jesus before us, you call us into the desert, Lord, where we come face to face with our own brokenness. We know that, like Jesus, we are often tempted by the world. The scent of power and the lure of judgment and anger are ever before us. We confess that there are moments when we are overcome by temptation, moments when we succumb to anger and cynicism, days when we judge ourselves to be better than others. We confess that we have left undone things that we know we should do, and have done things that we know we should not have done. Forgive us, we pray. Have mercy on us, and pour your Spirit anew on our whole church, so that we may move through this season to the cross and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
God's tender mercies reach out to each one of us in this moment, extending the restorative power of forgiveness. In the name of Jesus, we are a forgiven people. Amen.
Our scripture reading is from Psalm. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, in you I trust. Do not let me be put to shame. Do not let my enemies exult over me. Do not let those who wait for you be put to shame. Let them be ashamed who are wantonly treacherous. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all day long. Be mindful of your mercy, O Lord, and of your steadfast love, for they have been from of old. Do not remember the sins of my youth or my transgressions. According to your steadfast love, remember me for your goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. He leads the humble in what is right and teaches the humble his way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness for those who keep his covenant and his decrees.
The next reading comes from the book of Mark, chapter 1. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." And the Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness. He was in the wilderness 40 days, tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild beasts, and the angels waited on him. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came to Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news."
Good morning, sisters and brothers. Would you pray with me? Holy and gracious God, we step into this season with a sense of wonder, a sense of awe. Empower us to travel, to journey this time with an increased self-awareness, an ability to reflect and to pray and to practice the holy disciplines of Lent. And now, as we share your word, may the meditations of our common heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable in your sight. Amen. So I want to share with you this morning that one of the most beautiful things about being a pastor is that you get to perform baptisms. You get to actually pour the water of baptism on the head of a newly minted Christian. And it's a beautiful and a powerful thing, a true privilege. These days, of course, this is almost always happening with infants, at least in our community. And the whole family and all the witnesses crowd the front of the sanctuary, and the infant is handed to the pastor, who desperately hopes that the diapers are in good shape, so to speak. Also hoping for no incidents or crying, but still, through it all, it is an incredible moment, and I have treasured each baptism I've had the privilege to participate in over many years. But I want to say that a still more powerful thing is to baptize someone who is an adult, someone who has intentionally chosen to be a disciple of Christ and knows exactly what he or she is in for. I mean, after all, if we really follow it, the life of a Christian can be challenging, to say the least, right? I mean, think about it. While we all draw comfort and even joy from our faith, we cannot avoid the profound calling that comes upon our lives when we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. We're called to love our enemies. I mean, who has trouble with that one, really? I know I struggle with it. We're called to forgive those who have wronged us. We're called to let go of the things we want so that what God desires for us may fill our hearts. We're called to release our anger and our cynicism, and we're called to sell our possessions and give what we have to the poor. We're called to deny ourselves, to pick up the cross and follow Jesus. We're even called to give up our lives if need be, for Scripture tells us that no greater love does anyone have than to give their lives for a sister, a brother, or a friend. Yeah, the baptisms for infants and adults, no question, are beautiful events. But what comes after baptism is a profound journey of self-giving love, and it's a journey that you and I are on together, a pathway of self-denial and resurrection power. Now, this stark juxtaposition between that beautiful moment of baptism and the life to which it leads is clearly seen this morning in the gospel from the passage, from Mark that we just shared. Jesus comes, as you know, to be baptized, and John, who has a good clue as to who this Jesus is, they're cousins after all, reveals some reluctance but proceeds with the baptism anyway, in the River Jordan. And then as Jesus is baptized and emerges from the waters of Jordan, with the water still dripping from his face, the heavens are torn apart, and the Spirit descends upon him like a dove, and a voice comes from heaven saying, "You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased." Wow. Wow. I mean, I know that everyone would paint a somewhat different picture of the scene in their own minds, but no matter how we draw it, this is powerful. This is beautiful. It's stirring, kind of like the many baptisms that we've witnessed ourselves in our lives, correct? And you would think that in all this affirmation, in all this beauty, there might be a party, a potluck, if you're Methodist, a celebration or something like that, right? But no, not in this story from the gospel writing. The Spirit immediately drives Jesus into the wilderness where he undergoes all kinds of temptation, hanging out with wild beasts and being tended by angels. Yikes. In one fell swoop, we go from, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased," to being driven into the desert where Satan waits with, you know, challenges, let's say. And I can almost hear Jesus now. "Thanks, Dad. If this is what it looks like when you're pleased with me, I don't think I want to see when you're angry." But for the beauty of baptism to the wilderness of temptation and trial, we make this trip together. The truth is, however, that it has always been thus for people who choose to follow in Jesus' footsteps. I mean, think of it, about the heroes of the saints, the ones we revere and lift up: Francis of Assisi, John Wesley, Edwin P. Ryland, Oscar Romero, Dorothy Day, Cesar Chavez, Martin Luther King Jr., Mother Teresa, and the list goes on and on, with the unmistakable and clear reality that every one of our heroes in the faith, of our saints, gave up everything to follow Jesus. Yet, too often, the church and its people get lulled into a comfortable kind of habit, don't you think? I mean, we're nice to each other most of the time, but truth be told, we lean into that culture of comfort rather than into a community of self-denial and self-giving love. And on this first Sunday in Lent, I wonder if we're not called to ponder this. I mean, what's going on? What are we up to, really? I think that we, and not just we at Petaluma UMC, but I think the church in the United States of America does this in part because we have a tendency to fall one way or the other. Sociologists might call this the binary. In other words, things are one way or the other, period. You know what I'm saying? Black, white, up, down, left, right, and so forward. I think this perspective creeps in on us. And we sometimes think that if we practice self-denial and self-giving love, we won't have any fun or any joy. It even feels dour and painful. It seems like it did when we were kids, and in our inner selves, we're whining like an adolescent. "I don't want to do that." Yet the truth that lays beyond the perspective of our society is that the path of Jesus is strewn with joy, with childlike wonder, and with laughter. I have a picture in my office of Jesus. It's my favorite picture of him. And in this drawing, he has his head thrown back and his mouth open in a huge grin as he partakes of a big belly laugh. You see, I know that Jesus laughed. I believe it with all my heart that he still laughs a lot. In fact, some of the most joyful communities I've ever seen are the ones who have given up everything to follow Jesus. In the Christian-based communities in Nicaragua and other places in Central America, it was incredible, amazing. These people had literally nothing, but they went about as though they were the richest people on the planet. I remember visiting one home, and these people were laughing and singing and dancing, and they put food on my plate. And as we prayed, I suddenly realized They were giving me what all of them would probably eat in a week. Their generosity, their compassionate hearts were overwhelming. You know, and I think that when we practice self-denial, self-giving love, the result is not the pain of deprivation, but the discovery of a new kind of abundance that our world pays little attention to. When we give ourselves away in love, we find that there is literally no bottom to the well of our souls. When we rise up to care for others, to lift up the broken and the hurting, when we give all for the love of God, for the love that is God, we enter into a life-changing, world-altering location where joy, love, laughter, and even silliness are tied not to our comfort, not to what we want, but to the surging power of God's love. So, on this first Sunday in Lent, let us be driven with Jesus by the Spirit into the wilderness. Let us confront the temptations posed by comfort and by what St. Peter called the tyranny of what we want. Let us step into this wilderness where we can imagine together a profound and stirring sense of joy that comes when we give ourselves utterly in love, when we go deeper together into our faith, into the intentional and ongoing practice of following the way of Jesus. Friends, this is a holy time. It's a time for us to take that close look at who we are, how we live, how we serve. It's a time to open our hearts in a profound vulnerability to what the Spirit may have in mind for us. In other words, to open ourselves up together to wherever God in Christ Jesus might be leading. So in closing, I want to share with you a portion of the invitation to observe a Lenten discipline from our United Methodist Book of Worship. Hear these words. I invite you, sisters and brothers, in the name of God, to observe a holy Lent. By examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on our holy scriptures. So there it is. Let us go together on this journey, this Lenten journey, and let us observe this Lenten season. Let us claim this path into faithfulness, a journey that we hope will become our home as we walk together in the newness of life that arrives as we give ourselves in love for the world, for one another, in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you join me in prayer? Holy and wonderful God, we step together into this Lenten season with perhaps a touch of trepidation. For it is never an easy thing, God, for us to look inside and tell the truth about our hearts, about our lives. And yet this is the call, to participate in self-examination, to observe where we need to repent. In other words, where we need to stop what we're doing and turn around and do something different. And so, God, we ask that you accompany us and that you help us to feel your presence as we journey together into this season of Lent, as we move together to discover your will for our lives and for our church. And God, even as we do this, we step as ones who walk through each day subject to the realities of life as we live it. For God, there are those among us who are grieving the loss of loved ones, particularly in this time of pandemic, and we ask that you embrace them in your arms. God, there are those of us who struggle in relationships, who struggle with being alone in this time of isolation, and we ask that you help your presence be felt as they move through these days. God, there are those who are struggling with all kinds of illness, and we ask and we're bold enough to pray for healing for all the people that we are touched by and who we touch. We ask for your healing. And Lord God, we pray too for the life of our church. We ask that you inaugurate in us a new sense of spirit and vigor that we might pursue what it means to be faithful to your word each and every day. Awaken in us a new passion. Provoke us to do great and imaginative things. And in all of it, God, help us to feel your abiding presence as we work, as we live, as we pray each day, that we might follow the path of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Please join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Tamaki mami melo malangi, me varoro taikine damuni. Me adamaina nomuni matintu. Me dagana lo mamuni burbura, me pakasa daga melo malangi. Nisile me viki mami nisingongo na kakane rutiki mami. Nimbukoda manda nineme miradala. Me pakaki mami sambukoda, were sa daga dala viki mami. Nikaku nikotiki mami gine vere. Kamuni vambuli ke mami manada. Nisa nomuni na matinitu. Kena kaukaua, kena langilangi, asangani mundu. Amen.
Dear friends, we've come to the time in our worship life together where we receive our offerings and tithes and gifts for the ministry of the church. You should know that there are numerous ways to give. You can send us a check in the United States Postal Service, or you can drop a check by the church. You can also donate online by going to our website at www.petalumaumc.org. And now you can even give through texting, and the directions for that will be on the bulletin as you see it in this podcast. And however you give, we're just grateful for your generosity. Whether you give through making a pledge for the year or you give weekly as you can, however we give, we know that the work we do is empowered and even made possible by the generosity of each one of you. And so I give thanks as we take this moment to contemplate, to give, and to support the work of our church. Amen. Let us pray. God, we know that all blessings come from you, and we return now a portion of your generosity so that together as your community, we may follow the path of Jesus as we seek to bring spiritual renewal, as we seek to feed the hungry and heal the sick, to lift up the broken and to liberate the oppressed. As we go to do all this, may these gifts be used with integrity, with joy, and with hope. And we dedicate them to your work in the blessed name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And now may the God, who we recognize in Christ Jesus, go with us as we travel today. May this God accompany us on this Lenten journey as we claim this pathway as our home, as we claim the way of Jesus as our way, as we work together in love and grace and forgiveness to build a new world where that love reigns and has its way with each and every day. In the name of the Creator, the Word, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.